Breslow.
No, seriously, this is the reading. We're going to read from Acts 21. And oh, you can put that up if you want, Jesse. That's what we're looking at. Paul's Mediterranean cruise. Did you know Paul had a Mediterranean cruise? Someone said to me they didn't know he had one, but he did. Acts 21, 37 to 22. This is the start of the cruise. We're just about to embark on a Mediterranean cruise. I thought it was a good summer thing. That's warm water shirt, Mediterranean cruise. And anybody here want a Mediterranean cruise? Don't have to go very far. Come to CBC if you get a Mediterranean cruise. That's good, isn't it? Sorry about the weather. And as Bruce said, you don't want to be out there at the moment. It's too hot anyway. So it all started in Jerusalem and ends in Rome. The trip was free of charge, paid for by the Roman government. Paul had it booked ahead. Did you know that? The trip was divinely planned. He knew some of the itinerary because he was warned that it was going to happen by prophecy. They said, don't go to Jerusalem, it's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to get arrested. And he said, but like any good holiday, there were some extra surprises that he didn't know about. There was a few beatings. There was a shipwreck. And he gets bitten by a snake. All at no extra cost. Wonderful. Wouldn't you want to book with this travel company? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to follow Paul's progress on a whistle-stop tour of the area. Although it took him longer than a summer vacation. It took him over a year, I think. But, Mediterranean cruise, over a year, with all those extras. So here we go. This is how it started. This is the start of the cruise. Acts 21, 37. It says this. I won't read the whole story, but I'll go into it. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander... by the way, before we go anything, McQueen, you've got those bits of paper? Because you just pass them down, and Susan, you've got those bits of paper. As I'm reading, just don't, whatever you do, do not open these bits of paper. Whatever you do, you'll mess everything up for yourself. This is, I've been dying to give this bit of paper out because I think it's great. But, and you can stick it in your bowl, do it like, you can throw it away if you like. You eat it, burn it, but you might want, you'll all get one. They're all the same, so don't be jealous. They're all exactly the same. I'm so excited I've even kept one myself. Just in case I lose it, darling, could you keep me one? Now, I'll read this. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, but he asked the commander, may I say something to you? Now, Paul had just been in a riot. The mob of the Jews had got everybody to riot against him because they didn't agree with what he's saying, and they tried to kill him. So it was a big riotous mob. You know, sometimes you see that on the TV, the big riotous mob in the Middle East. That had happened, and it all happened in the Temple Square. And, of course, the Romans, their guardhouse was up high, and they could look down on the square, and they saw this all happening, and so they rushed in. So that's the situation, and they've arrested him, and they make it to the barracks. And Paul says to the commander, may I say something? Do you speak Greek, he replied. Aren't you the Egyptian who started the revolt and led 4,000 terrorists into the wilderness some time ago? Paul answered, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people. And after receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned at the crowd that they all silent. And he said to them in Aramaic, which is the local language, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defence. When they heard him speak in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Bear in mind, this is a riotous mob. Then Paul said, I'm a Jew. In Tarsus, born in Tarsus, in Cilicia. I was brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. Paul arrived at the beginning of his cruise. It started really well, as it happens. When he got there, he went and saw the church leaders in Jerusalem. And he told them all about the miracles that had happened. He told them about the guy who fell out the window. What was his name? You remember the guy who fell out the window? And he, I thought of his name. What's his name, Mike? The guy who fell out the window.
Can't remember.
Terrible. It's our age, isn't it? It's my age as well.
Get to the point, you don't remember names.
Anyway, yeah, that's right, yeah. I will get it. There's a bloke who fell out the window, and Paul prays for him, he gets better. So he must have told them that story. He tells them about all the conversions. He tells them about the new churches. He tells them he's been to Asia, Greece, Cyprus, everything to be happy. And they're all really happy, and they're praising the Lord. They go, fantastic, fantastic. The only trouble is, Paul, you're in danger. It gives him the warning. You found it.
I can't speak it, but I can show you.
Eutychus. Yeah, remember? Eutychus. Yeah, that's the guy who fell out the window. Because Paul preached so long that this guy fell asleep and fell out the window. I won't preach that long, so hopefully he won't fall asleep. All right, I've got another 10 minutes. And I think I'll be finished by then, before then. So they told him all this great stuff. They're really happy. But then they give him a warning. They said, Paul, you're in danger. There's a lot of Jews that are after your blood because you've been leading the people astray. That's what they think. They think you're leading them away from our Jewish religion, our pure Jewish religion. You're even calling the Gentiles in. So they thought Paul was a traitor to the Jewish religion. And as good Jews, they wanted to stop him. And Paul, he noticed some Asian guys in the temple, and they started a riot, and the mob, and they beat him, and they tried to murder him. And then the Romans rushed in, it's like the police. They saw it happening. They rushed down and they arrested Paul, immediately put him in chains. And then they said, okay, guys, what's going on? This guy's obviously a troublemaker. They'd already thought he must be this Egyptian terrorist. And this is true. There was an Egyptian terrorist who started a riot and he went back to Egypt. A lot of his followers got arrested, but not him. And so they thought it must be him. And then Paul says, well, no, obviously I'm not, because he explained that. He said, I'm a Jew, yeah? And so that this angry, dangerous mob almost had to carry Paul, because Paul was in danger, but the soldiers were in danger. This is like a riotous mob, and they're after killing him. And they'd have ripped the soldiers' heads off if they could. And so they virtually carry him to the steps, and then he says, can I speak to the crowd? We've already said they thought he was a terrorist. But, you know, Paul, he wants to speak to this angry mob. What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill him. What's he do? But he wants to, he sees them not as an angry mob. He's concerned for their lives. Who else? Life was in danger and he was concerned for everybody else. Jesus, when they hang him on the cross, he was concerned for everybody else. He said, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It reminded me of people like Richard Wurmbrand. Yeah. In prison, beaten. Things that you unimaginable happened to him in prison, and things they made him do. He prayed for the guards who did that to him, who tortured him. You can read the book, Torture for Christ. The slaves, years back in America, who were Christians, who used to pray for their masters, who used to beat them. If only they'd become Christians and have the peace that I've got in my heart. How did they do that? How did Paul want to speak to this angry mob? You see, Paul loved them. And why did he love them? Because Jesus was in his heart. Do you know that Jesus prayed in John 17:21? This is a revelation to me. I've never seen this before. I was just preparing this show and I read this. Father, this is Jesus praying. Get this, listen carefully. Jesus praying. God always answers Jesus' prayers, yeah? Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Hello? Jesus is asking the Father that we can be invited into the Trinity. Yeah? Into the Trinity. Into that love relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us. For what reason? So that the world might believe that you have sent me. That's a complete revelation to me. Jesus' prayer is that we should become part of the Trinity. Pick up that bit of paper. Open it up. And you can write on the back if you like. You can write on the back forever. On the back of that. We're part of the Trinity. We've been invited into fellowship in the Trinity. How can that be? Man, this is Steve Gurnett standing here. I'm a wicked sinner. Man, the things I've done, I'm ashamed of, that I wouldn't want to tell you about. How can it be? That's why Paul loved him, because Jesus was in him and he's part of the Trinity. And what's Jesus' ministry? He's to love people who don't know him. Love people who want to kill him. Paul got it, didn't he? He loved them. He saw people, not people just trying to kill him, he saw this group of people that needed to hear about Christ. Someone gave me this. Two people are giving me these. I've got to know what happened to the first one. A friend gave me this. I've been holding it recently just before I went to sleep. I don't like icons, and that's what I thought it was at first. But as I've been holding this, I suddenly realised that's a picture. It's a picture of the only thing we can do. The only thing we can do is to hold on to the cross. Because I tell you what, if you rely on yourself, you're wasting your time. Because that's the thing that makes you part of the Trinity. It's His mercy. That's fantastic, isn't it? Thank God. You haven't all got to get one. You can be a Christian without one, all right? But I thought it's a picture of what we're doing, isn't it? Hold on to the cross. I better get a move on. I've got 2 minutes. Okay. Paul was a sworn enemy of the gospel. How did he do a complete U-turn? He was confronted by Christ. He met the Messiah. So now he explains, he first of all defends himself. But why is he defending himself? Not because he wants to get away with it. He wants to get over the barrier. The barrier is, he's against the Jews. No, I'm not. That's why the first thing he did when he went to Jerusalem, he starts paying for some other Jews to do some really religious stuff. So that was a good idea, but it didn't work. But so there he is. He's met the risen Christ. He says, I've met him. That's why I changed. Everybody knows that I hated the Christians. I was trying to kill them. Why did I change? I'm a clever guy. I was under this guy Gamaliel, the most respected teacher of the Jews. He's confronted by Christ and he has a complete U-turn. And then he goes to a guy called Ananias comes after he gets made blind on the road. Remember that Damascus experience? Ananias comes. What's Ananias say to him in Acts 22 verse 16? He quotes it. Ananias says to him, what are you waiting for? Sorry, me shouting. I'm excited. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized and wash your sins away. And call you on his name. Paul humbled himself and obeyed. That's what made him part of the Trinity. Jesus died. That don't save us. We repent. We realise we've failed. That don't save us. What saves you? Calling on his name. Ananias. Paul had already repented. He already knew he'd got it all wrong because Jesus said to him, why are you against me? Oh, man, I've just met God. Yeah? Call on his name. You've got to ask yourself a question. You called on him? If you ain't called on him, you're not in. You've got to say to him, God, it's me. Come in. Thanks for dying. I'm really sorry I got it all wrong. But you're the only way. Just come in. It's me that needs you, not everybody else. Not Mike Leader. It's me. Call on him, because he's the only answer. Okay, man, I'm 1 minute over. Right, okay. But then he says, the Lord says, go to the Gentiles. So I do it. And at that, it's too much. And they all go crazy. He's defiling our religion with the Gentiles. How dare he? The Jews excluded anyone who was not of their race and creed. Who do we exclude? Do you look at some people and go, he'll never make it? Nobody's excluded. Everyone's welcome. God doesn't exclude any of you. He doesn't exclude the vile. He doesn't exclude anybody. Murderers, thieves, the self-righteous. They're the most difficult to say. The people will say, I don't need God, I'm good enough already. Look how many times I go to church. That's Paul, the self-righteous, or the religious. Paul, man, you couldn't have met any more religious than him. Everybody's included. Don't ever exclude anybody. What we learnt? Concern for the lost. Love them. Call on his name. Make sure you've done it. Can't tell other people to do it if you ain't done it yourself. Everyone's welcome. Even me. Tell yourself that occasionally. Preach it to yourself. When I was doubting my salvation, somebody said to me, for goodness sake, preach it to yourself. When you get it wrong, you desperately get it wrong, just hold on to the cross. Because you're part of the Trinity and you'll be there forever. John 17:21. Stick it on the back, put it in your Bible. You're part of the Trinity. I can't believe that, can you? It's unbelievable. Amen.
Okay, we're going to finish with a song. And